Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Welcome everyone to this edition of Level 117 on Sci-Fi from Your Radio. Jason Hunt here in the very crowded bunker. We have a full house tonight.
We had to break out the handheld.
Yeah, we had to break out the handheld and the Y cables and the splitters and the extra chairs and all sorts of great things here. Maya Aids is here in the bunker. That's the voice you heard.
Yippity.
Off to my left, Mr. Dan Hindley.
Hello.
Timothy Harvey sitting across from me. Christopher Pryor.
Hello.
And back from the dead.
No, she was not dead.
Well, missing and active for quite a long time. Yes, Cammie Settle is back with us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
She's just really pale.
I'm practicing for Halloween.
She's dead.
She's been without sunlight for a long time.
She was mostly dead. Thank you to Miracle Max.
I mean, just because her skin is cool to the touch, she's very pale, and she's moving...
I'm not
Let's
dead yet.
Say something of a shamble.
She's Doesn't getting mean... better.
She came here and she's not finding any brains.
Yelling when I have headphones on, not a good idea.
Bad, very bad.
Yeah, see, because I've got the cans on. I have headphones that fully cover my ears. Everybody else has got the little piddly
I don't know.
Headphones.
It was loud in my ear too.
Mine are in ear.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, okay, so...
I'm pretty sure it curled the hair inside my ear.
Okay, so, tonight, 525,600 minutes. Oh, wait,
No,
rent.
Hours.
That's rent. 4,722 hours. 4,722 hours is the title of the episode, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you want to join the conversation, you can call our hotline, 573-42-SCI-FI. You can send us an email, level117@scififorme.com. And we're talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on a weekly basis. Those of you who have just found the show, we're also, you know, we're talk about Marvel's Cinematic Universe when it's appropriate. And we've got a couple of things maybe I'll throw out later on just in passing. But tonight, the Gemma flashback.
Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm.
It was a good episode.
and it's probably one of the very, very, very few times when I'm okay with the framing scene and then the flashback. Because the framing scene was, 6 months ago when she disappeared. And then we get a piece where she's talking to Fitz. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the episode is what happened on Planet Purple.
Your problem is where it's... 3 hours earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. 24 hours earlier.
eight hours ago.
Let's jump around and confuse the audience.
Well, it's that
Let's
plus
use a lot.
We're in the middle of action set. 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, don't do that.
It's like my neighbor tells a story. Oh, yeah, by the way, I should have mentioned.
Yeah. You go up here to the corner where the lightning struck that oak tree that's not there anymore.
Not there anymore.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I think there's only been one show that worked well on.
I don't know that works well on any show.
It was called The Good Guys, but it didn't last long.
Oh, The Good Guys, that was such a fun show.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was an awesome show, but it didn't last long.
I actually thought about submitting a script for that one, but it died before I could do anything with it. That was a fun show. Because it was in Dallas. It was shot in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was in Dallas when they were doing that. I was like, I want to get on that show.
Nice.
Didn't happen.
And,
this show, tonight's episode, on the cheap, we only had, for the most part, we had two actors. We had Elizabeth Henstridge giving a very, very good performance. I mean, she's carrying this episode definitely.
You say cheap only because of the actors, because I don't know about with the special effects and the sets and everything. Well,
they had to shoot it on another planet, so I mean, that adds to the budget.
They're shooting in the quarry in Cardiff.
Well,
day for night.
Actually,
okay, don't do that.
They shot it on Mars. They shot it on Mars because it's the same sound studio they used to fake the moon landing.
Didn't it look a little bit like Monument Valley? A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It looks like any dry desert.
I think they.
Yeah, but Monument Valley's got some very distinct, you know, those it could very well be that they
the sandstone,
you
know,
went out to Southern California somewhere, but.
Right. Well, there's certainly some places they did spend the money on, but I think it was very effective for giving that sense of at least alien enough.
Yeah.
To not leave us with like a, oh, look, it's William Shatner's going to come around the corner and fight the Gorn.
Wouldn't that be funny if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went back to that location?
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be great.
And did the shot, the zoom out, you know, when they're running up the cliff and you zoom out.
And a giant boulder comes looking crashing down, you know.
Yeah. Why not? Bill and Ted did it. They went to that exact same spot.
Yeah, well, it's a classic spot.
It is. So what do you think of the episode?
Good.
Good. It was
good.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not your typical episode. Yeah. I'm so used to seeing several different story arcs moving forward at the same time and all the action that we missed tonight, but it was replaced very well.
And it was basically played out so differently. You know, it's not what you would expect from any, even when you're used to the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was also very suspenseful. Even though I know she made it back, there was still times when I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, she's in so much danger.
Well, and kind of appropriate. This is the week of Halloween, so they basically gave us a ghost story. Two people trapped in the middle of the desert. Two travelers running and hiding from the thing in the shadows. Yes. Evil itself lurking the living planet.
It kind of works.
I mean, the planet with moods.
Well, what's very interesting is that when we finally do get to see our threat, the actual whatever it is.
The Grim Reaper.
It's the impossible astronaut.
It's the impossible astronaut. And opens up and it's Alex Kingston.
Didn't it look like it was leaking
Hello,
sand?
Hello, sweetie.
It looked like a zombie astronaut.
Yeah, I thought it was leaking sand.
Well, and you looked at it and it didn't quite look like it was astronaut-esque. Didn't look like it was a... It almost like it was... No. It was, well, the helmet, but the rest of it looked like it was hanging off it.
It's almost like it had either assumed the form or had taken one of the suits and didn't quite know how to wear it right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that reminds me of the creature in MIB that was wearing skin and didn't really know how to wear skin.
Yeah.
Edgar.
Yeah. The bug.
Edgar.
Yeah.
Edgar suit.
Edgar suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the first time we saw it, creeped me out. It looked more like the Grim Reaper.
Well, it looked more flowy.
Kept it very vague and from a distance until we finally do get right up in there. It's
although Kim was right, it did look like it was you know dressed like the Emperor more than
it was more like a hooded figure with flowy cape.
It was the dark one, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, one of the wraiths from Lord of the Rings, or it was this black robed type of figure. So.
I have an idea.
It was more retro.
Maybe it appears differently to everybody.
Mayhaps
it could be.
Well,
it's a boggart.
But that would the question would be why? Well, why would it appear to Gemma as an astronaut?
I don't know. I don't think we saw Gemma's version of it.
No,
I
we
think
saw
we
Gemma's.
Saw Will's.
Yeah, she said it's one of yours. She said to him, "It's one of your guys."
Okay.
So yeah, it was.
Well,
I think it was
and that could be it. Could be just trying to get in her head to say, "Hey, no, it's going to be okay. It's one of yours."
Something she recognized from her.
Yeah, just to stop her long enough that she doesn't get to the portal in time, and she almost didn't.
Well, if he hadn't been looking for her, she wouldn't have. If Fitz hadn't jumped through the portal and with his rope and gone out into that.
Mm-hmm. And fired the flare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you still on Team Fitz?
What do you mean?
If you got to ship Simmons with someone, you're going to still tell her to be with Fitz or with Will?
Well, we don't have to ship with Will because it happened.
Yeah, but she has to pick, so
that
which team are you on?
Sailed.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I don't think we get to pick anymore.
So
she has.
But he's back there still.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're shipping, Will Simmons?
Willens.
Well, we do know from IMDb that his last name is Daniels. So
how does that help?
No, it doesn't really.
It doesn't. It makes it worse.
Go ahead, because her name's much longer.
Dannons. It's Dannons.
I like Wilson.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Wilson.
Well, okay.
It's so appropriate, too.
Well, mm-hmm. But we've also established that Fitz is going to save the day.
Right.
So, we will
save someday.
they will bring him back, and we will have a love triangle tension. Ooh. That lasts until he dies terribly, because you know he's going to die terribly, right?
No.
Time for the death poll again.
I don't know that he's
going to
die.
Is going to die?
I don't think Will's going to die. I think he will step aside.
Oh,
before
no, Will is going to die terribly.
You think?
Yeah. Okay.
Why?
Well, let's see.
Let the record show.
There's a couple of things. First of all, we know he's being followed by something. We know that the thing has been hunting him.
For
14
years, and though.
Well, it didn't say it's toying with him.
14
But it's
years.
It's also appeared in the astronaut garb, which is a direct connection to him. Okay.
Right.
We also don't.
He used his last bullet. That
he
was
used his last bullet. We also don't actually know that he was telling the truth about the death of his crew.
True, that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We know that he told a story that could be true.
It's a plausible story.
It's a plausible story. Doesn't mean it happened that way.
Right.
And secondly, or thirdly, or whatever number I'm on now.
Yeah.
That's
right. Is the fact that he's all, I don't know, he's just doomed. I mean, he's got that.
Yeah, they gave him both a first name and a last name now.
Well, that's it.
No, he
doesn't have a last name on the show.
You looked it up.
We looked it up. They haven't used it yet. I mean, it's people with one name never survive for long. It's like, what? Wait, I didn't even get to type my last name. What is it? It's Go.
I remember. Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, though, in Dark Matter, third or fourth episode, when was it? When they found the dead kid, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any lines. I mean, he's dead. He's laying on the slab in the infirmary the entire time. But he's got a credit for that episode TJ.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, he's been identified. And then later on in the season, we see TJ. We get the backstory. We get the history and stuff and some of the memory stuff. So I'm wondering if at some point, now that Gemma has opened up about the story,
yeah,
that maybe they come in and they look it up and they go, oh, this is who the guy is. His name's William Daniels, and he was part of this expedition and Project Pathfinder and yada, 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 yada. And then, you know, they call everything up on the computer.
Oh,
and then
what I'm waiting for is them to sit there and find the NASA mission and them to say, there was no Will Daniels on that.
Mystery man.
Actually, Will Daniels came back.
Yeah.
This other one is the one that bounced off the shield when the transporter.
Oh, wait.
Well, we were talking about this before we started record because we were looking. There were a lot of names that showed up in this episode,
right?
You know, so we had Brubaker,
the rest of his crew.
Yeah, the rest of his crew. We were thinking maybe those are comic book creator names. First of all, I thought it was Jason was thinking it was Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, because Taylor.
Right. Mm.
And that would have been fun.
But we started looking. Of course, we had Ed Brubaker, who is the name Brubaker was one of the names, and Ed Brubaker, of course,
and he had a very long run on Captain America.
Yeah, so he's got a very. There's kind of a connection with agents, just Shield and that sort of thing. But we're pulling things from, like, you know, talking about 2001, the comic book series, the Marvel series that ran for 10 issues that has actually nothing to do with the movie, aside from the monolith showing up and there being an astronaut eventually.
Right. But the monolith does play, that's similar
it is a monolith.
I guess that's sort of where it is.
So, the adventures of the monolith.
So it's like, we're like,
it's like the red couch.
We were kind of reaching, but it felt like it almost connected. It was kind of weird. We're looking for things, I mean.
You got bones in the desert.
We just couldn't quite make all the dots connect.
No. So it's just, it feels like it ought to be there because it's close enough.
You know, these probably are cookies to something, but we just didn't quite.
Although the monolith in 2001 did turn out to be a portal of sorts.
Of a sort, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
of course, it was more of a portal to an acid trip in that.
Well, you'd also have to assume that and it's entirely possible that the creative team behind Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going, let's make reference to a 1977
Let's throw some stuff. People will think they're Easter eggs, and they'll just be looking for them all over the place. And we'll sit here and laugh.
Yeah, that's probably a little more closer to that.
Let's see and try to figure that one out now.
It could be. Could be.
Well, yeah. I think it's unlikely.
Well, even if it was any sort of Easter egg, it could have been almost like the Star Trek references in that recent Doctor Who episode, Under the Lake, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They had multiple references to Star Trek in that you had to really catch them.
Just winks.
Yeah, just little
that's
winks.
That's probably what some of this was.
Exactly. So. That's why I figure that's probably all it was.
Yeah. So, plot was kind of thin. Because it doesn't have to be a whole lot.
It was a travelogue.
Yeah, it's a diary, and it's, you know, here's what happened. We knew that she had some reason to go back that involved probably a person, because we had speculated last week that maybe there was somebody else that got left behind.
I told
other
you guys.
People.
Yep. I told you.
You were right. You were right. Mm-hmm. You were right.
I said there's one or more people there that she wants to go back to save.
Right. So, now we have a mission. I thought it was really interesting the end when she's told Fitz this whole thing.
And he jumps up.
Including the astronaut boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he just leaves. He just walks out. I'm like, oh, crap, we're back here again. Really?
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, we got to go get him. I mean, and then that is classic Fitz.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that is Fitz and Simmons right there, where she's like, she defines a problem. He says, "Okay, let's fix it," and then they go for it. So now the question becomes, how they get back there?
Right.
Because the monolith's broken,
sort of,
a little bit.
Well, but he also, you could clearly see that he had something already mapped out, and I mean, he'd already done the computer modeling for something. Mm-hmm. So
well. He had already seen her her work, right? So he had probably already been working based on that.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's
kind of a smart guy.
Well, and he does have a tendency to want to help her for various reasons.
Yep. Yep.
Well, and we did get Gemma talking to Fitz during her time on the planet
right.
Blue. Planet Purple. I call it Planet Purple.
And tonight it was more of a blue-green.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, day for night, you had a filter. It just depends on you.
It was sun up tonight, so.
Yeah.
maybe it's getting into all of our heads, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and, you know, because when Fitz was broken and he was talking to the imaginary Gemma.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now we get the flip of that, where Gemma is not really talking to an imaginary Fitz. She's talking to a memory of Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, keeps her grounded through the whole thing.
Sure.
Until the flare comes up and she's able to reconnect and say, okay, yeah.
We do now know how S.H.I.E.L.D. is being funded through the sale of really, really high-end cell phones.
No.
Batteries.
They haven't hit the market.
They lampshaded that.
Yes, they did.
They lampshaded that when she said, Fitz hacked it so it would last longer.
Well, like I'm saying, he's got his own little sideline where he's selling these. They're very expensive because it's got a 120 gig hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah, and the look on Will's face when she told him that. Like, but see, the thing about it is, though, it's not that much of a stretch because when you sit there and you know, you hold up a cell phone and you look at somebody and you say, there's more computing power in this little phone than everything they used for the moon missions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's more in a watch, too.
Mind-blowing. You sit there okay, it's believable that somebody from 2001 would be handed this thing that's tiny and handheld and is like, oh, this little portable computer. Mm-hmm. Because we have made those leaps in technology. Of course, we're still waiting for the hoverboard.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, but none of us have a 120 gig phone.
Well, no, not yet.
But it's actually doable.
But how far?
Or a battery life that is months long.
well, the battery life.
S.H.I.E.L.D., you might.
Battery life. The battery life part is a little odd, but the memory isn't that much of a stretch.
But how far away are we from 120 gigs in a phone?
Wouldn't it be just put in the micro memory thing? Wouldn't it be possible now?
Well, if you look at do they make a 120 gig micro SD card yet?
They don't need to, but the thing is the chip that's in it is very, very tiny. And if you put multiple chips in there, there you go.
There you go.
That's so, all you need.
Well, see,
well, except they haven't done it yet. So,
yeah,
actually, nothing available on the commercial market.
Right. Texas
Instruments, Microsoft, Apple, whichever one does first, send the check to.
Exactly.
Just right. To remind you, Tim, you look at
what Canon is doing with visual sensors. You know, yeah. That's a much bigger stretch than 120 gig hard drive in a phone.
Yeah.
When I heard that the Furby, remember the toys, the Furbies,
mm-hmm.
had more computing power than not than all the computers that they used for the moon mission, but then was it in the actual spaceship?
Was it in the module?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand Furbies.
Oh, I hated them. They were rude.
They freaked me out.
Okay.
We had two of them, and they were rude.
I've noticed something tonight in mm-hmm. our discussion here.
Yes?
And the only reason that I'm noticing is because I'm aware of it because of an email that we got.
Another email
saying, "Get back to the point."
Well, so we digress.
We've mostly been on the point here.
The thing is with this episode, it's pretty straightforward in terms of plot.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma's stuck. Gemma meets a guy. Gemma falls for the guy after she figures out that she's stranded there forever, and then she sees the flare, and they go home. I mean, that's essentially the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So now we're just talking nuances.
She worked out where the portals were before, you know, the whole flare situation.
Right, yeah. Now, did that map look very much like something out of Tolkien?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I saw the Misty Mountains.
Right?
She looks at it, the Lonely Mountain.
Especially after we get news of that annotated map being found in London here, was it last week?
Yes.
What?
I heard about that.
Going up for auction, and I think it's sold for something like $500,000.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Was this a J.R. Tolkien map?
Yeah, annotated by Tolkien.
Apparently, the artist who had done a lot of Tolkien's early maps and the big poster and everything.
For the book?
Yeah. She had a copy of a map from somewhere, and Tolkien had done a bunch of notes on it to... You're basically saying, okay, here's London, and here's you know, someplace in Italy, and you know, all the basic, you know, real Earth corresponding locations that would fit into where this
to Middle Earth,
and all sorts of, you know, spelling corrections and geographic things and mountains and this and that and the other, and all of this just tucked away in a book that apparently somehow made its way to a secondhand bookshop, a used bookshop, and somebody found it.
They bought it. Yeah, they bought the book.
It fell out, and it was like,
yep. That's a pretty good investment right there.
Yes.
That's a great find.
Yeah, so.
Those are the kind of things we all, like, dream about, mm-hmm. wish about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to get a map of another world, that would be worth something.
Yeah. Only, how can you prove it's of another world?
Go to the other world. Once you get the portal rebuilt.
Yeah.
Okay. First you need a monolith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
So when we come back, we'll talk more about the little details, because that's pretty much what we've got in this episode. So we'll talk about a few of those and get some favorite moments and look forward to next week, because we maybe got a spoiler in the promo for mm-hmm. next week's episode. Mm-hmm. So we're going to refill coffee mugs and be back right after this on Level 1177. Stand by.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
All right, you all listening to Level 1177, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now, back to Level 1187, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 1187, Jason Hutt here, along with Cammy Settle.
Hey.
Christopher Breyer.
Hello.
Maya Aids.
Yo. Yo. Never mind.
I thought I gave you enough time there. Tim Harvey.
Hello.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
And you, our listeners, who can join us by leaving a comment on all the social media or over at scififorme.com, or you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com. And we've got a hotline, too. You can call 573-42-SCI-FI. Let us know what you think about this or any other episode of Level 1187 or Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is what we're talking about tonight, the episode of 4,722 hours, the flashback episode.
It didn't seem like that long.
No, it didn't.
No.
It seemed to go a lot quicker than that.
Yeah. Well,
actually,
you know,
the pacing was really good on this too. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it because this kind of thing could have really taken a long time. It could have been really slow, but because she was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she's a good storyteller and she edits her stories well.
I'm going to attribute that to very skilled use of tropes and shorthand.
Explain.
On the part of the writers. Because when you have the marooned on the island story,
mm-hmm.
there's always the, I've got to find food, got to find water, drag, oh, I'm going to die, Sky.
Yeah. Wilson.
And
yeah,
and
exactly.
You have that moment where they just completely lose all hope. Nothing is going right. I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find something. In this case, it was Gemma finding the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the tentacle lettuce monster.
Yeah,
yes, that's
right. Whatever that was.
Like, well, luckily the water was water.
Cabbage.
Yes.
Yeah. As soon as she started drinking, I was like, wait a minute.
Are there parasites in that thing?
Oh, there probably are.
Apparently a really big one. Well, actually, that may not be a parasite.
Then, of course, you've got fire. I made fire.
Yes.
Got that scene, right? Because mm-hmm. Survival depends on certain things for a human
versus
being. So,
the elements.
So you're going to have those moments
mm-hmm.
that have to be there.
Right.
And the audience expects those moments to be there. So the writers are sitting there going, okay, well, we know we've got to have A, B, C, D. Here are the cards that we have to play.
Mm-hmm.
And this,
so all we have to do is just figure out how many pages we've got to do before each one shows up just to even everything out. Okay, now what are we putting in between them?
And it also comes down to how the person accomplishes that goal.
Right.
And how difficult it is for that person to accomplish the goal.
Being held in a cage isn't one of the normal parts of human survival.
No, but
it actually worked in her favor.
Yeah, but those moments though, those are the twists that you can add into the episode that are not your standard tropes. But, stranded on the island and then you meet the cannibals.
Yeah.
And the cannibals capture you and they're going to eat you. They put you in the cave. So, that element is there. It's part of the...
And she comments on that. Are you going to fatten me up and eat me?
Exactly. Well, and
not
of course...
Not a bad idea.
He's sitting there thinking that she's a hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
something else.
Did anyone else think that since we had already gotten the 1700s, 1800s flashback...
Yeah.
That maybe we were going to get the guy we saw walk into the portal? From way back then. Did anybody else have that the first
but
time you saw
this?
I think
found
we did.
The sword and the... No, you...
Pile of bones.
I think that's who that was.
Definitely the bones are because he was carrying the sextant.
Yeah.
But, when I first
when he first showed up and we hadn't said anything, when he was just the figure in the distance.
Right. You know. Yeah.
I was waiting for a British accent because I could not remember for the life of me what that actor looked like in that episode.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would have been great if it had been Alex Hyde White.
Yes.
But, you know.
But that would have been...
Well, okay. A little inside baseball. I don't know if you were here for that episode. Alex Hyde White, when they did the flashback to 1859,
1853. No, I wasn't. That was the second one. Yeah.
Okay, the guy who... Did you see the episode, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy...
But I had to watch it by myself.
The guy got pushed through the portal.
Yes.
Right? The guy who did the pushing.
The old guy who was running the meeting.
Yeah. Yes.
That's Alex Hyde White, who played Reed Richards in the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Oh.
And we sat and talked about how cool it would have been, how meta it would have been, because I didn't even recognize him until I'm looking at the credit listing on IMDb, and I was like, Alex Hyde White. Missed opportunity there, you know? Mm-hmm. Because that would have been so much fun.
If he was still alive,
yeah,
but
well,
much older.
If it had been him... Then you could have done some sort of a nod and a wink and a poke at the current Fantastic Four flop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it basically says going through a portal. You know, this other planet thing.
Well,
works out right. You know,
here's the thing though. Just because we only saw him that one episode doesn't mean we won't see him again.
Oh, I know, and I'm hoping that somebody at Marvel hears this and starts thinking, you know, Alex Hyde White was in a Marvel movie a long time ago.
Uh-huh. Well, I imagine that's how he got the cameo in the first place.
Oh, I expect so. Yeah. I mean, that's usually how these things work.
Of course,
work.
It would probably mean more flashbacks.
Probably.
I'd be okay
3 hours ago.
300 years ago. I don't know. If it's... And I've always said, it's got to be done right. You can't just...
Well, tropes are tropes for a reason. Okay?
Yeah,
it's because
they are.
It's because when they work, they become this. They set the standard.
Hey, So, our Asgardian, one of his conditions of helping them find the portal was that they destroy the portal.
Yes.
He knew more about that portal than he was letting on.
Oh, yeah, I expect so.
So, maybe they can find him to...
I expect so.
Remake it?
Yeah, because they didn't lock him up.
Now, why,
he's still out.
Okay, so here's another question. Why why did the Inhumans think that was such a threat to them? Was it this death character on the other side who's waiting to come back and
this,
find them?
Well, this goes back to very esoteric, and Tim probably knows more about this than I do. I've just looked this up. The fan assumption... Mm-hmm. Is that this planet that they were on is actually a moon of the Kree homeworld, and I think it's called Halal,
which would mean you guys were throwing out all kinds of prison theories.
Yeah, the idea the prevailing theories are that this planet was some sort of a prison planet for either inhuman experiments that had gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which would certainly explain the beast that we have on the planet now still.
Right.
Prisoners of war, because, you know, the Inhumans were developed to fight as soldiers in the Kree war against the Skrulls.
Sure.
So there's all of those different possibilities that this is a place to which people get banished. So, you know, the Inhumans, of course, would have a fear of it because... This
being
is a
banished.
Place where people go to get banished and they die. So, you know, there's a negative connotation to it in all respects.
On the other hand, tonight we got a potential backstory for it because they said one of his team thought that it had been a paradise world that this thing had destroyed, had consumed,
the
had killed
thing.
Everything. So, which of course is just a theory.
Right.
Well, wouldn't it also have something to do with the fact that they only get sun for about 5 minutes every couple of years?
That is a difficult thing to have when trying to develop any kind of ecosystem, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm very curious as to the thing that was living in the drinkable water
That didn't
well, the
seem
cabin
to
squid.
There was also the heat below the
eat
surface.
Anything. What was it eating?
The parasites in the water.
Yeah, that's right.
He was so happy when something bigger came in. Mm. Well,
didn't that crack in the wall, though, look like
oh, yeah,
crack in
was,
the universe?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I was waiting to hear a voice on the prisoner zero has escaped.
Yes.
Well,
the other thing I thought of.
What is your name? What is your name?
Don't tell him. Don't answer that question.
But that might be, you know, when they were talking about all of their NASA equipment being solar powered, and there's obviously a really bright light on the other side of that crack in the wall. That's almost like sunshine, isn't it?
I was kind of surprised that
because I was thinking they could have used that.
If you basically got a geothermal heat source,
you would think.
You would think there'd be a way to try and
make power
because
out of that.
If they have a water source, then you could do steam. And then you could have steampunk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean,
come on.
Yeah, but this guy wasn't a science-y guy.
That's true.
The ones who were went crazy.
That's right.
Or so he says. Yeah.
But they could have built a steampunk computer.
But you got to keep in mind, the planet is
Gemma,
alive.
Gemma could have built the steampunk computer because, you know, she's on. If completely missed opportunity. If you were on a desert island, what would you want? The TARDIS? That was her answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why didn't we go there? Why didn't we have a callback to that?
Yep.
That would have been fun. Especially with the crack in the wall.
You write them a sternly worded letter.
I will, sir. I will.
Well, they do say that the planet...
On the good station area.
Dear Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I should like to complain.
Let me put on my complaining trousers.
But the planet is alive, so they say.
It has
moods.
It has moods.
So it's female.
And but it also extended
she said
that
he had moods, so it's a non-gender. it's a non-gender moodiness.
Yeah, but the planet can change its surface apparently because they had extended that valley. They thought it was only 30 meters, and oops, not quite.
That's very convenient that this one valley extends, and yet all the other locations between the previous portal appearances have not changed at all, even though those are great distances apart.
Well, I got the impression from what Will said that excuse me, that this beast had changed it.
Right.
It's not that the planet changed it.
The planet has moods, and it's getting into people's heads.
Where
so
the portal was going to show up. He just changed the distance that they had to pass in the cavern.
Right. The beast could be part of the planet.
And what a shot. I mean, this guy, first try, only try.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if they hadn't sat there.
To point this javelin 100 yards across a chasm in the wind.
If they hadn't stood there in shock for 2 seconds that it's bigger on the inside, they would have made it.
That's right.
They would have made it.
That's exactly right.
She should have said that.
She should have.
Well, so many missed opportunities, Marvel.
Well, I mean, if you stare directly at the story, and this is why I think there's still some question as to whether or not he's telling the truth about what happened to his team, is that he's the person that they sent along for security, right?
Yeah.
So you have three scientists and one security guy. This is an expedition to another world.
Right.
Three science guys and a security guy with a sidearm.
That was it, apparently.
With instructions to keep his mates in check.
Yeah.
Not to protect them from others. To keep them...
Oh, so maybe they knew...
I think they maybe knew.
When they sent
them... Well, and this was a subsection of NASA sword.
Section of NASA.
You could swim. You could tie this all back around.
You could totally
because he
do
had
that.
Heard of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How much do you think she that
well,
that
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Will
is
knows
not that
Rosalind.
Well hidden?
No, but this was 2001,
right?
When he left Earth, so he had heard of S.H.I.E.L.D. He said, "Oh, that's real."
Yeah.
Mm.
How much you want to bet that he and Rosalind have some kind of connection?
See if they
that's going to come around,
like
because she's Abigail Brand.
We think we are. She needs to be Abigail Brand.
Yeah.
plot twist.
I thought one of the theories was that she's Lash.
Well,
plot twist. Is Lash. Will is Lash.
That's not a realistic. That's not a realistic theory.
But no, because Sword is the space version of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay.
Right.
And we don't have an Abigail Brand in this show yet.
But Rosalind right now is kind of standing in the place of Abigail mm-hmm. Brand. She's
poised.
The organization, you know, this the what is
she's
the initials?
She's that character.
What are the initials?
ATC or ATU.
ATCU.
Okay.
How do you remember that?
This is essentially.
How do you
know,
not?
It reads like a proto sword. So yeah. and she would make a great Abigail Brand. Of course.
Who are you?
The well, realization they, that she's half alien would
and
be even better. So.
They've even said that Rosalind is one of the names that she's known by. So it could very well be that Rosalind is not sure. her actual real name.
Right.
You know,
right.
That could That's be the cover name
the
while
one she's
at ATCU.
Being called right now.
Her real name's Jimmy Hoffa.
Could be.
Hoffa's looking good these days.
Yeah,
yeah. Facelift.
I mean, he clearly took care of himself in several ways.
And yes. had a sex change.
Well,
yeah. there you go.
But aging well, I got to say.
Yeah. Very well.
Lost the accent. And
how do you think Fitz is really taking it?
Poorly. Poorly. The word you're looking for is poorly.
But on the other hand, it is a person that is stuck there. And as, you know, he is compassionate. He's a compassionate person.
He will do
anything for Gemma.
Yeah.
At any cost.
He knows he's going to be pulling, if he succeeds, he's pulling a rival.
But he loves her. He loves her in a way that if they were never together mm-hmm. and he could just be her friend, mm-hmm. he would find happiness in that.
Yeah,
he's that's that kind of friendship that if it's even if they both they've seen moonlighting too. Okay. Even if okay, for the kids at home, Moonlighting was a show back when Bruce Willis had hair.
And before he was an action film star.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can say, speaking from experience, it is possible to have that kind of best friend
yeah.
that mm-hmm. you really will move heaven and earth for
mm-hmm.
and not be with them.
Right.
You know, not in any mm-hmm. kind of a, you know, marriage, girlfriend, dating, whatever that is that Fitz and Simmons are eventually going to have.
Maybe.
Well, the romantic part of it, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they'll have it, maybe they won't. But mm-hmm. it is possible to have that close of a relationship without having the romantic elements too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, yeah. So even if he would bring Will back for her,
sure.
and he would be happy for them, and there would be that tiny piece of him inside that would
there
be.
There would be dying.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's already happened. But
though.
The thing
I mean,
is,
when she turned him down, when she didn't reciprocate.
But that tiny bit is always going to be a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've gone through both of them rejecting the one or the other mm-hmm. before this. So
actually, he turns evil and he's the villain of season 4.
Oh. That would be a real change. Yeah.
And Ward will come work for him because clearly he's clearly smarter than Ward.
Well,
and,
how many
times? Oh, great, he takes over Hydra.
Come, Ward.
How many times have we seen the lover scorned story turn, you know, whoever becomes the villain?
But I honestly can't see.
I would like so much for them never to do that here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because
can you imagine Fitz in a goatee?
I can imagine Fitz becoming the better version of Doctor Doom that the Marvel Universe hasn't mm-hmm. had yet.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I'm still waiting for the monkey. You remember? Because they talked about this. He has it in the comic. I'm still waiting for it to show up in the show. I mean, they've been talking about it since season one.
Who's monkey?
They haven't really talked about it. They haven't talked about it since.
Okay, well, there's a reason for that.
I know. It's you know, it's a comic book idea. It doesn't
see,
reason, work in the show.
Reason number one, monkeys are difficult.
But it's a holographic monkey.
I'm just saying.
It doesn't have to look like a monkey.
Oh, that's a budget. That's a budget thing right there.
Yeah.
But, well, they've done the things with all the computer screens and everything.
We should probably explain this to those who missed that.
Right.
Because plenty of people dumped out in season one. They may not know what we're talking about.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So Fitz wants a monkey. And in the comic in the comic book version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
he gets one.
He gets a monkey, and he has yet to get a functional monkey.
It's
maybe,
his...
maybe they can just hire Andy Serkis to come in. And play.
Well, it's so
they follow him around.
It's his Jarvis, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it turns out, you know, it's a holographic monkey that he uses. It's his assistant. It's mm-hmm. his, you know,
But he wanted.
They could just animate it in sort of Mary Poppins style, you know, just 2D, as a little comic
little,
relief.
Little 2D monkey that just.
It'd be funny if it was a Daggett.
Oh God! Okay,
no, that could be the monkey's Halloween costume.
Oh, speaking of Planet of the Apes, here, name him Caesar.
You could do that.
Yeah. So turn to the old person next to you and ask what a Daggett is. So once upon a time. There we go. Oh.
No. She did it.
She did.
She turned to Jason and asked.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you clearly know what it is.
You don't know what it is? Okay. So once upon a time, there was a show called Battlestar Galactica. And it
the
not,
real one?
Not the one, the Ronald
this
D. Moore
the
one.
80s
the
80s.
1978,
yes, that's true. The Star Wars knockoff with religious overtones.
This is the one when Starbuck is a guy.
Right.
And
right.
Cylons were all machines, and Cylons, not yeah, human. Yeah.
Well, except for the leadership.
The Imperious leader was a Cylon. Okay. Yes.
That's right.
So a Daggett was, it was a toy idea.
Okay.
Well, the original Daggett.
Really wrong?
The original Daggett was a dog.
Like yeah, the, Chucky mm-hmm. the doll? Just
right.
Chucky?
No, yeah, awesome. No, Daggett was a dog that for a small boy named Boxy. What was Boxy's real name?
Troy.
Thank you. His nickname was Boxy, right? Okay. So Daggett died in the assault on Caprica. So the boy lost his dog. So when he was rescued by the colonial fleet, he was given a mechanical dog.
That was not a good idea.
Well, no, it was fine. It's just that it was a ridiculous kind of horrible thing.
Well, and it was a practical effect. It was a monkey in a suit.
Right.
Oh.
They had a monkey dressed up as this mechanical dog, and it did okay.
Yeah, it did fine.
It was a mechanical dog. It was a prototype.
It showed up enough that you know you knew that it was there, and it was probably one of the more popular of the toys.
Yeah, it was there for the kids.
Yeah. So yeah. So there you go.
It was one of the early "let's make this for marketing purposes" type of thing.
So now we can skip back, and I can say you could dress the monkey up as a Daggett.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, that's good. Yes,
now it all makes sense.
What a hilarious callback!
3 hours ago.
Oh, she's actually too
great.
Close to reality.
So they've got these. I winks to all these other little fandoms. So they have the Daggett. They get their coffee from Starbucks. Mm.
Yeah. Well.
Richard Hatch makes a cameo. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about next week's episode because we got a promo.
We did get a promo.
Because last week we had talked about the fact that we don't necessarily know for sure that Andrew is dead. We saw a body on the floor. We saw feet.
We just saw the
body
leg,
on the floor.
Part of the legs and feet.
Some
and
blood.
A pool of blood.
Baby Strucker running out of the shop, looking rather harried, mm-hmm. before it blew up. And the suggestion is that Andrew's dead. Next week's promo.
The stronger suggestion is that Agent May believes that he's dead.
Well right.
Yeah,
right.
The promo
the way
says,
the promo says,
with the
it.
Death of her ex, Agent May returns to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Yeah. Which,
wow, you sound just like him.
I know.
Yeah.
I practice. It's actually me.
That's great. Yeah,
it's a sideline I did.
Right? Yeah.
And they just don't pay you the amount for it,
God,
right?
No, it's just a freebie.
It's amazing.
There's too much of that around here.
They're still recovering from the first half of season one.
So in other words, you get just about what you get paid here.
Yeah.
Slightly less. they don't give me coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
But last week we said, you know, next week we're going to get the Gemma flashback, which means we don't get anything mm-hmm. having to do with the current storyline, and that proves to be the case. So next week we're back into the regular, you know, present day.
And
I think you're right. I think May thinks Andrew is dead.
Right.
But I don't think he's dead.
I don't.
But the question is then where is he then?
Well, maybe it's safer for him to be dead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If he's reached the point where the bodies on the floor are not him.
Yeah.
And Baby Strucker is running away, looking like he's running away in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy impending explosion.
Andrew's Lash. I was going to say, Andrew's Lash. There we go.
That would be an interesting twist.
That would be.
And actually,
probably
I can see, I can
not
see
what's
them.
Going on, but...
No, but I can see them making that work.
Mm-hmm. We have not seen them together.
That's right.
No, we haven't.
I mean, just like we haven't seen Tim and William Shatner.
That's together.
In the same room.
That's exactly
together.
Right.
Or actually, me and Cammie.
Yes, we're not here
That's
now.
Right.
You're just listening to this at home. You can't tell who's actually talking.
You just think you're listening to us at home.
Jason claimed that the camera was on, but it really
wasn't.
There's actually only one person in this room.
It was all computer generated.
I'm doing all the voices.
The regular Mel Blanc.
Tom Kane taught me well.
It's just the voices in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really recording this. I'm just imagining it. Okay, so
wait, now when you push, when you tell us that we're all done, if the computer didn't save it
and you
then
were
it's
there,
just then
and
it's just a lost there? Memory in my head.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so next week we're all back to regular time. Andrew's not dead. May's back.
May's back. The whole team is back.
Bobby's back on the field. She's back in the field.
And they're going after Ward.
And they're going after Ward.
Which and clearly
is the beginning of the arc that sets up the spinoff.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Because he knows they're coming. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D. has not always been good about being secretive.
Wait, what?
What? Yeah. They took the logos off the cars. What more do you want?
Except for the one on the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a big plane.
And if it's on the roof, people see it from below.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be above it.
Nobody. It's hidden.
Sure.
Hidden in plain sight.
Well, unfortunately, it does sound like we're going to get another one of the... You guys just aren't really very good at this spycrafting episodes. I hope that's not the case, because this has been a pretty strong season so far.
But yeah, the promo made it sound like that.
I know.
So I'm really hoping it's a bad promo.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though, okay, so we see Hunter back with the team. So Hunter clearly gets, you know, I mean, Ward got away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got a bullet in his back, but he gets away. He knows that they're on to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
and they now know that he's the head
they,
of Hydra.
They know he's the director of Hydra, assuming that Andrew is dead, so-called. Then, dead-ish, mostly dead. Then Ward knows that they're going to be coming after him, because he knows they're coming after him.
Of course.
Because they've already tried.
Of course, because they know where he is.
It's an easy assumption to make that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to show up at some point. So it's not that
and
much
Hydra's
of a stress.
Gonna know they're coming.
Goes, Hydra's going to know you're coming. Well, yeah, because you just tried to kill him.
As he jumped out a window.
Yeah, so I don't think the promo is giving away anything on that front.
I don't think so either.
And I think the other thing with May, with,
I think it's a
you know,
red
May
herring.
Says, I think it's a misdirect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because they do that sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
People lie. It's kind of common in the industry.
No. Stephen Moffat lies.
Everybody lies, just Moffat does it more than
lies.
Most.
The doctor lies. And we haven't got that crossover yet.
No.
No. Yet.
Although I'm still waiting for the live version of Superhero Cafe.
Superhero what? Sorry.
How it should have ended.
Which?
The online humor stuff for a lot of most of its genre movies, most of its genre, they do some great Marvel comic stuff. Superhero Cafe is Superman and Batman sitting having coffee
because I'm Batman,
discussing their various franchises and other things. And and the Doctor was a guest.
I missed that one.
It's very funny. Yeah,
I gotta look that up.
It's 11th Doctor. It's right after Amy left because Batman wants to know, why did you go back for Amy? Amy, I would have gone back for
you. You see the superhero texts from superheroes?
Yes. Yeah.
Superman, Batman. And he's like, talking about diving into a phone booth.
Yeah. And, yes, you know, I remember that one.
There was this blue phone booth, and I was able to change it. For Superman, and Batman says, was it bigger on the inside? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was. And there was a doctor there. He says, why didn't he go back and save your parents? tenth Doctor shows up and says, fixed point in time. I'm so sorry.
that's actually one of the lines in the Superhero Cafe. It's like, Krypton. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think the fun part I mean, Ward has turned into a very effective villain. Mm-hmm. And he's been a lot of fun to watch as a bad guy. So it could be a fun episode.
He's been better as a bad guy than he was as
We said that from the very get-go when they revealed he was Hydra. It was like, finally, he's got depth.
It's like, oh, thank
something
goodness.
To do.
Somebody carved some depth into that wood.
Cardboard.
He's got a personality now. Speaking of David Tennant, let's switch gears for just a second real quick. Talk about that trailer for Jessica Jones.
Yes. Wow. Okay, and that's interesting because everyone talks about how the DC Universe, which has one movie, by the way, remember one movie in the DC Universe.
Not according to the theory on Movie Pilot.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I read that theory. Wow. Crazy pants.
We'll have to talk about we'll have to talk about that on Rogues Gallery.
Because that's like all three or four kinds of crazy. Yeah. Anyway, Jessica
Jones.
But
that's normal for a movie pilot.
People are talking about Jessica Jones. People talk about the DC Universe being very, very dark. Marvel Universe just went darkest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because Jessica Jones, have you guys have all seen the trailer?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you guys, how much do you know about the Alias, the comic book it's based on?
Okay. As much as you guys have shared.
All right, so the short version is that in the comic, Jessica Jones used to be a superhero. She actually hung out with the Avengers briefly.
Okay.
But she never quite took off as a hero, no pun intended. And ultimately, enough bad things happened that she said, screw this, I'm out. She became a private detective. And it's more the seedy underbelly of the superhero world. So someone who claims to be Rick Jones, who has been both psychic to Captain America and the Hulk and all things, and turns out to not really be Rick Jones. But anyway, it's you know, things like that. Well, she ends up being the girlfriend and then eventually the wife. I think they got married.
Yeah, I think they did.
Of Luke Cage. Power Man.
Okay.
And they have a kid together. But it's the comic book was under the Marvel Max line. So it was adult. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was lots of swearing.
It was the hard R.
Right. It was the hard
imprint.
R. Right. Okay. So there was sex. There was violence. There was a lot of swearing. There's a sex scene which is not visually graphic, but you get the inside of her internal dialogue, which is.
Okay.
She, the Purple Man. Which is the character David Tennant is playing. So the 10th Doctor is playing the villain of the piece. Mm-hmm. The Purple Man is a particularly odious individual. He is a serial rapist, serial murderer, who can control your mind, and he can make you do whatever he wants you to.
Ooh.
So he basically turned her into a sex puppet. And she has never forgotten this, because you're in there.
Right, right.
And when they're talking about the series, they're like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two things they're not going to show. One is going to be the sex scene with Luke Cage. We got the internal dialogue, which is very graphic. Right. And we're not going to show the fact that basically she was raped repeatedly by the Purple Man. Well, guess what?
They do.
Oh, really?
The implication in the trailer is very, very strong that's exactly what we're getting. Mm-hmm. And
well,
it's
now
there's nothing
that says that we're actually going to get that scene.
No, but we're going to we're.
But
it's in the story.
That's there.
That topic.
It's very much dead center in the middle of the story. Yeah.
So it becomes. I mean, it's and the thing is that it's actually it's handled really really well. And Alias was an extremely well written comic book. It's just not what you expect from, and that's why you got the Marvel Max imprint because you could go and tell these. I mean, there was the darkest Punisher stories were under Marvel Max. You had other War Machine ran under Marvel Max for a while.
Did Deadpool start in Max?
No, Deadpool started in X-Men, but I think they ran. There might have been a Marvel Max version of it. Yeah. There was a Nick Fury Marvel Max, which was really grim.
Yeah.
Did Elektra have a title in there?
I think there was at least one of the miniseries might have been Marvel Max. But anyway, anyway, Jessica Jones, highly critically acclaimed writing. Everyone was just like, wow. But no one was really quite expecting it to go to Netflix as dark as we're clearly getting in the trailer. It looks really good.
It does. Mm-hmm. It
looks.
It does.
And you don't see enough of David Tennant, but you hear him.
Yeah. Mm.
Jessica.
You're going to invite me in. Mm-hmm. No, you want to invite me in, which is even worse.
Yeah,
you want to invite me in.
It's like a vampire with mind control.
Mm-hmm.
You have to invite him in, but he's gonna make you invite him.
Right,
right, and so you get these purple. I mean, his skin in the comic Purple Man is purple. He literally, that's Kilgrave.
Yeah,
is his last name, but he's physically purple.
Figured there was an
they're not for the now. Purple. They're just using it as a sort of these flashes of purple, which sort of indicate the mind control effect. But
interesting.
It's I'm like, I mean, if you thought Daredevil was good, it looks like they're continuing the trend. Certainly, at least they've established a baseline for
and. They have announced last week, Jordan Williams is working on an article right now to update on a lot of the stuff that Netflix has just announced, one of those being a Punisher series.
Yeah.
We're getting that. And then Jordan's going to recap Jessica Jones when it hits November 20th on Netflix. And then she's going to binge watch and do recaps for that series that you can read over at sci-fi4me.com. And that'll be cool.
That's gonna be cool.
And we got the Punisher there. Elektra's in the season now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see? I don't know if you saw or not. The girl who plays their secretary, I can't remember her name.
Right.
Apparently, introduced the cast and crew to Dungeons and Dragons. So apparently they've been playing D&D on set.
Oh, wow.
And they don't get anything done.
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost like Vin Diesel walked
sorry,
in.
Sorry, we've got to push the release date back 6 months. Sorry. Yeah.
This campaign is really...
Yeah, really.
This dungeon is
those
hard,
orcs,
man.
Those orcs! Okay, so next week, another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we are careening quickly down toward the mid-season finale, after which we will talk about Agent Carter when it comes on the air. And in the meantime, if you've got theories on everything that's happening with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of the rest of the Marvel Universe, you can send those to level1187 at sci-fi4me.com. Or you can call our hotline, which is 573-42-SCI-FI. Join us on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr.
I think we should collect, recipes for cabbage squid.
Oh, there we go. Well, you know,
we should try them too.
We've got
we've
got a thing.
We're going to get one.
But. We've got a thing going on right now where we're soliciting questions, kind of stump the host questions for H2O for one of our upcoming episodes. But I think maybe here's what we should do. Let's ask the audience.
Yes.
Recipes is good.
Yeah, if you were stranded on a planet,
salad squid recipes.
What would you cook?
Sure, there's one. And also, let us know what characters you would like to see show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter.
Yeah,
you know who hasn't been there yet that needs to be, and we will read those on the air.
Indeed.
Yeah. So level1187 at sci-fi4me.com. I'd like to have something there besides spam. And that's going to do it for us.
I don't like
this
spam.
Week. Don't like it. I don't like it.
Spam, 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 spam,
spam, spam, spam, spam, spam, spam,
spam, spam, spam, spam, spam, spam.
Sing us out, guys. We'll use that instead of our theme song. Okay, thanks very much for joining us tonight in the bunker here at Cami Settle. Back.
Till next time.
My aides.
Good night.
Christopher Pryor.
Good night.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
Timothy Harvey.
Good night.
And my name is Jason Hutt. On behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me Radio, thanks very much for listening. We will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of sci-fi4me.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.